and certainly not our lead speaker, is Sherry Little. Ms. Little is an epidemiologist with Community Behavioral Health Services in the San Francisco Department of Public Health. Ms. Little received her MPH in epidemiology from San Diego State University. Her primary research focus is on substance abuse in local populations with additional initiatives in mental health. Her background includes over 10 years directing research in the private sector, conducting qualitative and ethnographic studies. Her presentation today will be on opioid analgesic misuses in a large urban HIV clinic.
Thank you. Now, I know it's almost dinner time, but please stay, because in this very short presentation, we're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to be talking about HIV, addiction, provider issues, pain, integrated care, and my mnemonic for that was happy, so I think I got all those letters in there. It's a very multidisciplinary group, as you can see here. We have both UC San Francisco, the San Francisco General Hospital, and the Department of Public Health working on this. I have no relevant financial relationships, except I do get paid a salary for my job. Thankful for that. So the main objectives which I want to cover here are estimated prevalence of prescription opioids received for pain among an HIV population, the self-reported prevalence of opioid misuse in this population, the reasons reported for misuse, patient and physician factors that are associated with misuse, and just a brief area of possible interventions and discussions. Most important part of this background, I actually did do a literature research on HIV and pain and found out that about two-thirds of HIV patients do report pain, which makes sense. And we all know opioid analgesics are great for pain and do a lot of people good, but we also know from everywhere these days that it can cause a lot of addiction issues. This work group that I'm a part of, actually work a part of all five of those sub-work groups, actually sprang from a national grant from HRSA. It was for buprenorphine and HIV integrated care. We have a NIAM representative back there. We're still working on the final reports on that grant, but this work group came out of all the research we had been doing around the HIV and buprenorphine and the problem with opioids. So let me, how do I go backwards? Thank you. One move forward, never backwards. So what I'm just talking about today is a waiting room survey that we did of HIV positive patients about their pain medications and substance use. Talked about the grant. The UCSF General Hospital Positive Health Program is one of the oldest and largest HIV clinics in the country. Department of Public Health in San Francisco has been, over the last couple of years, working at integrating our mental health care, primary care, and substance abuse care. So this is one of our model programs as we move forward. Basically, the procedure was a self-administered questionnaire among the patient population. This is California, but I don't think it's an earthquake. Among the patient population in a waiting room, so we made every effort with our interviewers to be as representative as possible. It was self-administered, but the interviewers were there at all times to ask questions or answer questions, to explain things or read things. And they were there at different hours, different clinics, different times over about a month period. We collected your basic data around demographics, pain, abuse, but our main outcome in this study is termed misuse, and that has meant different things in different places. But I think the majority of people are now determining it as use of whatever, and this is opioid pain medications for reasons other than pain. So we're not talking about selling your meds when you walk out the door. We're talking about using them on yourself for reasons other than pain. I was real happy to have 262 completed responses. It's over 10% of our clinic population. And even though we did only collect three demographic variables, they were very representative of the population. As I said, it was on different days, et cetera, so we do feel that this is a good sample. As would be expected, almost everyone had reported having pain at some time. We define chronic pain as 3 or more months of pain, and 60% had reported that over the lifetime of their disease, and 69% were currently in pain. Some of the interesting things is we expected to see more neuropathic pain showing up, maybe in the extremities, maybe tingling and that sort of thing, but we found that the pain location and sensations were varied widely among the patients. And I also like that the pain scale, because it seems like whenever I talk to some clinicians, they're always, every time we show a patient a pain scale, they always say 8, 9, and 10. And here we have, you know, a subset of the population who have a very real illness and who are also part of the public health, a lower socioeconomic group, who are rating, you know, an average of 6 on the 10-point scale. So I would say that that points that not always being so. Okay, one of the first things we looked at, I actually thought of doing Venn diagrams for this, but then there was too many circles, so I'll stick with a couple explanations. We looked at the first group of people who had ever had reported chronic pain of 3 months or more, and the medications they had taken. You can see that 80% had been prescribed opioids at one time, and also 80% had tried other medications as well. So it might not always have been the first line of defense. It's interesting that Vicodin and OxyContin are equally prescribed. I know sometimes one or the other gets demonized in the press or gets excluded from the formulary at some hospitals, but that isn't showing up here. We also asked about illicit drugs, and most people, as would be expected in our population, had used illicit drugs. 69 said they had used them in the last, 69% in the last year. And let's just exclude the alcohol. I know it's not illicit. But anyway, looking down from there, it's methamphetamine and crack were the most mentioned among our population. And as you can tell by the percentiles, it's definitely a multi-drug using population. We had one question on substance abuse treatment. Wish we had more. But this is as broad as possible. We asked the patient, were they currently in substance abuse treatment? Now, this could be a 12-step group, this could be therapy, it could be inpatient. But whatever, it was important to that this patient, we had one-third of these people believing that they were getting treated for substance abuse in some manner. And with a lot of the press out there, that's a pretty high number, I think, among our population. So the main outcome issue here, among 232 respondents who had ever used a prescribed opiate, an analgesic for pain, one-third reported taking it as non-prescribed for misuse. And these are the most common reasons given for misusing. And what really struck me the first time I saw this is that each one of these symptoms has different medications that are actually designed to treat them. And maybe we aren't addressing those situations with antidepressants, sleep help, opiate treatment with an agonist. There are other medications out there that aren't being, I believe, personally, that aren't being prescribed enough. There's a lot of new of the epileptic type drugs that can help with pain. Anyway, we did not see any difference by our three demographic variables in misuse, nor the location or duration of pain. Going back to that pain scale, there was a significant difference between those who had misused and those who had not. Still not super high on the scale, but 6.6 versus 5.8. So there's a possibility that some of their pain is not being treated as well, or they're more sensitized from using opiates longer. Okay, you've already seen the first two columns here. What I've added is those who have misused and those who have not misused among those who had ever had chronic pain. And the main takeaway is that it doesn't differ significantly by opioid medication. So we can't say, oh, all those people who are using OxyContin are misusing. We can say, even though they're really low numbers, that methadone and fentanyl patches are used more often among those who have not misused. Did I get that right? Yes, not misused. And it's quite possible, and the theory is that these are longer-lasting opioids and therefore may be more of a benefit for long-term chronic pain. Okay, one of the first things that comes up when you start talking about these, okay, what about diversion? Diversion has been defined different ways in different places. We broke it into two questions, whether you had lost, your medications have been lost or stolen, which does happen. So that's a questionable diversion, or whether you had given or sold your pain meds to others, which is out and out diversion. And just looking at those first two, we can see there is a huge difference between those who have misused and those who have not misused. So the association can be, if you know somebody is losing a lot of their medications, you know they may be at more risk for misusing their medications. Vice versa, if you know they're misusing their medications, they may be at risk for selling or diverting their medications. So it can be helped both ways. Providers are not clueless. I absolutely know that. So they are asking misusers, or people who have misused, more often for some screening tests, pain contracts. Urine drug test was not significant between the two groups, but I just don't think we had quite the numbers, and that would have gone significant with a couple more people. Once again, you've seen the drugs used, but what you're seeing here on all that yellow is the significant difference on every drug except for methamphetamine between those who have misused and those who have not. Almost twice as many on all of those drugs. Strongest, you can see crack, cocaine, heroin, three times as much. I mean, it's sensible. It makes sense, but it's good to have it out there in black and white. Okay, and also significant differences we're seeing in those who saw themselves as being in treatment were more often misusing. That can be taken to mean a lot of different things. I'll get to that later. This is a little confusing. The comfort in talking to their provider about drug use, they're actually less comfortable. If you look at the misuse group, 63% are saying they're extremely mostly comfortable. 87% of the non-misusing group is saying that. But still, those are very comfortable satisfaction ratings, especially given this is a general hospital. But there is a difference. And satisfaction with providers' management of pain, same thing. It's still high for most everybody, but there is a third of those people who are misusing who are saying they are not satisfied with their pain management. And taking this one step farther into the logistic regression model, ended up taking out the demographics, so they had no effect, and did a backward stepwise, and these were the most significant adjusted odds ratios. Satisfaction with providers, management of pain, the diversionary behaviors, and past year heroin, cocaine, or crack use. I do believe that there are associations with these other variables. A bigger study would bring those out. Okay, so just to reiterate, most people have pain in this population. A lot of it have current and chronic pain, and among those who have had pain, chronic pain, a vast majority have been prescribed opioids. Now, this is a really important take-home point, though. One-third of the patients are misusing, but two-thirds are not. You know, this is self-report, but all we seem to hear is a lot of the demonizing about chronic pain and opioids. Two-thirds of the people are saying they are not misusing it. And it is not associated, at least in this look, with a particular medication. I talked a little about this. You know, these are the most important reasons they're using it. These people may be self-medicating for other mental disorders, addictive disorders, and that there's a lot of other medications that could be tried that might that would be indicated to treat these at least before going back to the opioids or cutting down. I mean, I'm not a physician or clinician, so I don't want to tell you guys what to do, but it is indicated here. We've already gone over most of that. And we talked a little bit about the association between the diversion and the misuse variables and how looking at one could help with another. Routine assessments, do the basic urine tox screens, and pain contracts, which are still used only by a minority, I believe, and screening for other substance abuse and mental health disorders that you can treat with other medications before you become, some of these patients become addicted. It's a survey, it's anonymous, self-report, generalizability beyond an HIV-positive population, I can't say. Representativeness, I do believe we made every attempt to do that for this clinic. And the one thing we epidemiologists hate is can't determine a causal relationship, but I do have a lot of associations. Acknowledgement to our quality of opioid prescribing working group, and especially everyone at General Hospital. Thank you.
So thank you everyone for coming. Now we have plenty of time for questions, about 15 minutes. So I will open it up to the floor. But before you all start asking questions, just another reminder that we have the ATOD award ceremony tonight in Salon G of the Marriott, which is in South Tower. So you're all welcome. There'll be free food, free drinks, although I don't think they're alcoholic, so, but still. So.